Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
On the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. LT, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Chivas Regal tonight. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing great. I got Thompson's Water Seal tonight. That's right, Thompson's Water Seal, the cheapest, the $14 a gallon. Yeah, that is a true statement. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking, bud?
I'm doing excellent, and this week, again, I am drinking an American Hefeweizen from the Widmer Brothers Brewing.
Widmer Brothers, I love the name of that. Mm-hmm. And Josh, you're looking terrific today. New job's treating you well. How you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing good. Like I said, my stomach's a little upset, but I'm killing it with beer. So I've got a Lights Out from Treehouse going.
Lights Out when your stomach is a little upset. Lights Out.
That's right.
That sounds more like a threat than a
Lights Out. Anything else.
And speaking of threat, we're going to be talking about the villains of Thor today. Always a high threat level because the villains of Thor usually have to be pretty darn powerful. Or do they? Now, we've talked about villains of Thor. We talked about Thor before, and we've mentioned some of his bigger villains. Everyone knows who my favorite villains who attacked Thor are, but we'll go around and see who else everyone else has. Mikey, who do you like to watch Thor fight?
So I'm going to go with a recent villain created by Jason Aaron in Thor, God of Thunder. It was a limited Thor series, as all Thor series are now, because Marvel hates anybody doing any numbering or collecting. But in this story, Gore the Butcher.
Drink.
Oh.
I think everyone's going to have to drink on mine. Go ahead.
Gore the God Butcher is a great villain. He hates gods and goes around and kills them. He is so badass. He makes Thor believe that he is unworthy of wielding Mjolnir. So,
someday we're going to get you to be able to pronounce that correctly.
Mjolnir. But anyway, he is an awesome villain. He only has like 10 appearances. If you pick up the first two graphic novels of Thor, God of Thunder, you'll get all of his appearances. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to ask. I don't know his power set at all. This is a new character for me.
It's true. He's basically just a badass. A big powerhouse.
Is that his power set? Just powerhouse?
Yeah.
Well, and he can form fly. Dark energy into physical objects and tentacles. And
yeah.
The reason I was going to pick him is because, man, he is one scary motherfucking creature design.
Well, he gets more powers the more gods he kills.
Yeah.
So he kind of absorbs their power set.
Put that on the list.
So it's hard to define all of his powers because I don't think we even in the comics see all of his powers. The great thing about the storyline, though, is it tells it from a perspective of a young Thor, an old Thor, and the current Thor. So all three of them have to combine in order to defeat him. It's a pretty awesome series.
I like that. That sounds like a good character. I don't read a lot of the newer Thors. I'm more of a back issue guy on Thor. Josh, what do you got?
Well, first of all, if you haven't seen Gore, Google his ass right now.
Okay. He's Gore, got the some, God Killer.
And especially if you find some of the bigger, really detailed figurines of him, man, it's just some awesome creature design for Gore. Visually, he's really just an imposing villain for Thor, and that's what I really enjoy about him. Yeah, he's cool
looking. And the first thing that comes up is gore, overpowered.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we were talking, I started even reading the series is because our good friend Seth Myers over at Who's Next Gaming, at the end of our podcast last week on The Boys, mentioned that he thought Gore was going to be the main villain in the next Thor movie. So that's why I was like, oh, I better do some research on this dude. So I finally pulled out those comics that I've had forever and haven't read.
I think he's correct but wrong. I think it's going to be – I think he's going to be in Guardians, not in – I think it's going to be Hemsworth facing him rather than Jane Foster. But
all right.
That's just my guess. He needs a team. You need a team to fight Gore.
Yeah, he takes a village on that one. Tommy, who you got as your number one draft pick?
Well, I haven't really read a lot of Thor, so I'm going to go with the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, of course, Drink.
Wow. Wow, what a total dick move I'll take. But well played. Well played.
The Wrecking Crew? I've never heard of this group.
Yeah.
Well, the Wrecking Crew consists of Bulldozer, Pile Driver, Thunderball, and the Wrecker. And they all
and Bulldozer.
Form...
And Bulldozer.
I said Bulldozer first.
Sam twice. He's awesome.
Settle down.
I mean, it all started with the Wrecker having his enchanted crowbar, and him and his buddies all touched the enchanted crowbar, and he was able to give all of his friends enchanted powers to make them into the Wrecking Crew.
Just the tip.
The crowbar. Yeah.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
So the other guys are laughing because, of course, the Wrecking Crew is my favorite villains of Thor, not my number one pick. Tommy, why are they your number one pick, though?
Because Loki is the obvious choice. And the Wrecking Crew is definitely going to be on your list, so I might as well preempt you at some point.
All right.
Yeah, dick move.
It's a dick move.
Cool. Yeah, it's a dick move. I get it.
So you don't like the Wrecking Crew?
Oh, I like the Wrecking Crew just fine. I'm more of a Wrecker, personally. The rest of them I don't really care that much about.
Dude, I like it when the boys get together, the Thunderball with the enchanted giant Wrecking Ball and Bulldozer who can just run into almost anything. I just like it when the crew gets together. It's cool. It's fun. It's great. I like it.
Especially when they go out afterwards and try to figure out how to split the check.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Wrecking Crew. It was like my bachelor party in New Orleans.
Yeah. Sorry about that bump on your head still. Yeah. That lump's still there?
Still there.
Still there. Still there.
That's like a spork wound on my head.
Damn right it is. Here's something that you guys probably didn't know. Wrecking Crew was not my number one pick. There is one Thor villain I like more.
Oh,
and
I know this.
Oh, all right, go ahead.
You're going to say Ulick.
You are correct.
Ah!
Very good. It's way from the back.
Oh.
But, you know, he's just one of those weird characters. Josh, you know this. When I fight, if we're in a real fight and you can throw me any weapon, you're probably going to throw me like a mallet or a hammer or a baseball bat, right?
Truth.
Because I want to bludgeon shit.
Yeah.
That's what Ulick has. Me bludgeon shit. He's got these two one-handed maces, and he just kicks the crap out of people. And I love Ulick. I like the design. He's been around forever. I think his first appearance goes all the way back to 1967. Ulick the Troll with his badass mace, which his mace has been called almost as hard as Mjolnir. And he also has knuckle dusters. That's right. We got a superhero badass who wears fucking brass knuckles. How can you not like that? That's Mikey, good on you for knowing that about me, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I know you're a troll guy.
Call. Yeah.
I'm a troll guy. I like trolls. I like orcs. I like trolls.
And I know why you like him, because every fucking time he gets his ass kicked by Thor, but every time he's coming back.
That's right.
He always has the belief Thor got lucky the last 250 times I fought him. The streak is about to end. No one can be that fucking lucky to keep on beating me up like that.
Yeah, he gets knocked down. But he gets up again.
He's never going to keep him down.
No, you're never going to keep him down.
I will go as far to say that Ulick is the Chumbawamba of the Marvel Universe.
Damn right he is.
And I will go as far as to say that the Wrecking Crew is in the background singing the backup verse to that song.
Like, I am all in on that, and somebody needs to make that a fucking t-shirt.
Your look is the Chumbawamba of the Marvel. I thought my personal t-shirt was going to be something like holding a roll of dimes. But no, this should be my t-shirt.
That should be your t-shirt.
We should, Ian Leno, we know you're listening because you are one of our best listeners and Patreon subscribers. I don't know if you're aware. He runs a t-shirt shop called GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hi, Tammy.
He should definitely make this shirt.
Fucking A, you should. I would buy the shit out of that.
I would buy the shit out of this.
I would buy enough of those shirts to make it worth Ian's time.
I'm throwing
the fucking gauntlet down.
Clang. That's what a gauntlet sounds like. Yeah.
Can you imagine when we contact Marvel and ask for permission to license Ulick the Troll? They'll be like, yeah, sure, nobody's ever asked for that, so why not?
Yeah.
It's like when I asked Bob Layton to draw a stilt man for me. He was like, no one, including Marvel, has ever asked me to do that. I'll tell you to do that for you.
No one. And
he's like, I had to pay Marvel $5 to draw that.
Mikey, who you got next on your list, buddy?
I haven't thrown one out yet. What the fuck,
bud? Not a single one. Oh. I'm sorry. Josh.
Josh.
I thought I was going clockwise. I missed one. Josh, what do you got, buddy?
I am going with my favorite suit of magical armor, the Destroyer.
Oh,
that is a cool suit of armor.
Drink, my friend.
Yeah.
That's a cool helmet on that.
Mike, you timed that just slightly wrong. You could have got a snarf.
Yeah.
It was bad timing, sorry.
So the Destroyer, forged actually by Odin for some reason. Not the forger of the Norse world generally, but he forges a good old suit of armor that's magic. Sometimes it's people inside the Destroyer, and sometimes the armor's just doing what it wants to do. And that sumbitch is nearly invulnerable, and he's got a cool little visor that comes up, and he just disintegrates the shit out of people.
My favorite iteration of that is when Lady Sif's life force was powering the Destroyer, so Thor would not fight it, and that particular Destroyer was guarding the Rainbow Bridge, keeping Thor from entering Asgard. That was a story arc that lasted years until he figured a way to get Sif out of there.
Hmm.
Yeah. Those have been the chastity years.
I would say that that's good research, but really it was all in this particular comic book that I just got a couple days ago. Gotta fess up. Starts in Thor 290 with El Toro Rojo.
Wow.
The Red Bull.
Is that your number two?
Nope.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming then.
What do you got, Mikey? You're ready to go.
My number two is the greatest boxer of the Marvel Universe. I am talking about Carl Crusher Creel, also known as the Absorbing Man. He makes his first appearance back in March of 1965 in Journey into Mystery number 114. Loki gives him a magical potion, and because of drinking the potion, Absorbing Man is able to absorb whatever he's touching, and it makes him one of the most powerful villains in the Marvel Universe, and especially when Thor is stupid enough to hit him with that goddamn hammer, because then all of a sudden, boom, he's absorbing Mimi and is getting all that power. Plus,
until you trick him into touching glass. Let's just take a second to realize that that's how he's been beaten about 100 zillion times.
Well, he was also tricked into becoming helium by Thor, which you never think of Thor as, I'm going to outsmart this guy. But for Absorbing Man, yeah, that's going to be his solution. Yeah. I'm going to outsmart this guy with science. Boom.
So what happened?
Blinded him with science.
What happens when the Absorbing Man touches himself? That's the question.
$5. Looks like downtown.
Yeah.
He has not only fought the Avengers, he's fought Daredevil, the Hulk, Spider-Man, and Dazzler. So you know he's a heavyweight.
You know he's a heavyweight.
And he's got one of the longest lasting relationships in the Marvel Universe.
Huh. What's that, Mike?
With, what is that, Titania? but he started dating in the Secret Wars, and they've been together ever since.
Wait, that's didn't nice. Titania end up with Molecule Man?
Yeah, Molecule. No, that's Volcana.
Is that Volcana? Volcana.
Yeah, Volcana. Yeah.
I thought it was Titania. Really?
No, okay. Titania.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Jane Foster, when she was the Thor, she fights Titania and Absorbing Man, and Absorbing Man makes sexist comments. So Thor knocks him out and looks at Titania, and Titania is like, you know what? Normally I'd fight you for beating up my boyfriend, but he really had it coming, so I'm just going to give up. It's like the first issue of Thor. I can't tell you what volume, because fuck you, Marvel. You always are renumbering shit, but still, yeah, it's a great issue.
They do like renumbering their stuff. All right, I'm going to go back to Clockwise. Josh, what you got next?
I am going for the big serpent, Jermungandr, the Midgard serpent. He doesn't Midgard show up very often, thankfully, because the whole Ragnarok thing.
Drink.
Good choice.
But I love the original, well, for me, the original back in the, like, 380s or something, when there is really the entire storyline about Thor curtailing Ragnarok. It's just great, and then it's just really bringing something mythological into the comics, where normally we perceive Thor as a modern representation, and we often forget where and what he came from, and it's just nice to see the realization of something come through. And of course, he's just, you know, a giant snake that encircles the goddamn world and is ready to crush it in half when the time comes. So fuck yeah.
Yeah. Tell me, what do you got next?
I've got the Enchantress.
Ooh, good choice.
Solid choice.
Yeah, because I used to have these Marvel like flashcards. I don't know where I got them or why I had them, but Enchantress was one of them, and she made me feel funny down in my privates. I loved Enchantress.
Were those the postcards that came with some of the Who's Who's?
It was not. It was just totally separate, just flashcards. On the back of the cards, it had their name, their first appearance, and a little bio and their powers. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
It's like you were training for this podcast.
I was. I didn't even realize it. We don't have the rights to that. Stop it.
Tommy, do you have a favorite Enchantress storyline, or do you just like her powers? What do you like?
I mean, she always did the same thing, so it's like hard to say what a favorite storyline would be. I mean, her MO was pretty specific. She would disguise herself, she would try to woo Thor, and if not, she would move people around Thor to do her bidding to try to trick Thor into doing what she wanted. She was always after Thor. I mean, she wanted to get into his pants. Let's face facts. She wanted a little Thor action.
It seems like she could have just gone about it a different way. Like, hey, Thor, you want to have sex? That probably would have worked.
She wanted to try of Thor's hammer.
The hammer is his penis.
Yes.
Bingo.
I have to correct you on one thing. I don't think those are pants, per se. They're at least tights.
All right, whatever. She wanted to get into Thor's nether region. She wanted to cross Thor's rainbow bridge.
I think you're talking about something else now.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's something.
Yeah,
she wanted to do that too, though.
And welcome to the Pegging Podcast, brought to you today by Deadpool.
Celebrating Women's Day 364 days a year. Pegpool. I'm going to go with the obvious choice. We're all avoiding it just because it's just too on the nose, but Loki.
What?
Loki is a terrific...
Loki
is a terrific villain, a great foil, and often nemesis of Thor. They have been rivals, they've been friends, they've been brothers, they've been cohorts, but mostly they have been rivals. My favorite iteration of Loki, it goes all the way back to those terrible Funimation cartoons from the 70s, where he'd just be a still head with a moving mouth going, yah, 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 yah. I'll get you out of the nerve.
Okay, so my theory, I'm jumping out of scope here just for a moment. It might be a wee bit of a tangent before I'm supposed to have a tangent, but I'm going to say the Loki TV show is going to be the Twilight Zone of the MCU.
It might be.
It's going to be somewhere between the What Ifs and Quantum Leap.
All right, I like that.
Loki just bouncing around time, solving problems. Causing problems.
Or causing them.
Oh my God, is he the other Leaper?
Yes.
He
was the other Leaper the whole time.
Fucking with Sam Beckett. Oh my God, I would love that.
If they don't have an episode where he fucks with Sam Beckett, I will riot.
What are you talking about? Every episode should just be an episode of the fucking...
the reverse quantum leap.
Instead of Fix It?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should just be an episode of Quantum Leap with Loki cut in, fucking shit up, and then cutting out.
Yeah, seriously, Marvel, if you're listening, and I know you're not, you will fucking owe us some money for this idea.
Yeah.
How cheap would it be to produce that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean... Quantum Leap, it's already made.
100 episodes in like a weekend.
Yeah. What if we just Photoshop Hiddleston's face on the foil of every Quantum Leap episode?
Yeah, he just his face just comes into view in the background, smiling, and then he just
only when the foil goes by a mirror.
Right. Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, but you can have like the anti catchphrase like "Boyo." Is it a old boy? Yeah. Hey, boyo.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, awful. Shit, that's Loki. Josh, $1 million idea.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So if you guys like Loki, and I know you do, you should check out his run on Journey into Mystery. It starts off with Fear Itself and then goes for three other volumes. It's available on Comixology on the cheap, and it might be even on Comixology Unlimited, but... well worth the read. Loki has died, come back as a child now. It's Kid Loki.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is so fucking entertaining because he's trying to figure out the mystery that his adult dead self left for him to discover. So it's just fun. And he really is truly just a god of mischief. He's not trying to be evil or anything. In fact, he's trying not to be evil, but he just keeps on getting dragged back down. It's a great series.
Every time I think evil has let me go, it brings me back in.
He's the Michael Corleone of the Norse mythology.
Yes, he is. I forgot who's next. Not Mikey, you're next. What do you got? One more each, then we'll do a couple of...
Well, anybody who has seen Thor 2, whatever crap name it was,
in Electric knows. Boogaloo, where he had to stop
Asgardian Boogaloo.
To save the youth center.
Yeah, exactly. You got to stop the Dark Elves to save the Asgardian youth center. It's a classic. Plays so important. It plays such an important role in Avengers Endgame, but more importantly, it's got one of Thor's best villains, Malekith. Do not judge Malekith by that stupid movie. He is a much better villain than he has been depicted in the movies. And he is the main antagonist in the Jane Foster Thor series. And that's, I tried to pick a villain from the different iterations of Thor. And I think that Malekith is the best Jane Foster Thor villain there is, just because of his plans. It's awesome. Starting on the War of the Realms.
I haven't really explored that, so I'm happy to read it though. I am so far behind in my pile of comics that the sorting hat has sort of tried to make some predictions on what I'll read next. But I will I'll prioritize some Jane Foster now that I know that I really think. The next Thor movie is really just going to be all Jane Foster. Even though Hemsworth's been cast, I think he's just going to be like a flashback sideshow, and they're just going to send Thor into space with Guardians. That's what I kind of hope for, actually.
I was just longing for some Beta Ray Bill, so this weekend I started reading some of the old Walt Simonson stuff.
Oh, fuck. If he doesn't show up in one of those two movies, I'm going to riot.
Get me
the
Guardians.
Yeah, I'm going to fly to L.A. and I'm just gonna start breaking things until somebody shows up.
Hey, Mom, that's my pencil. Yeah, well, get someone in there important.
Yeah, Beta Ray Bill, where is he?
I'm an intern.
What?
What? Tommy, what do you got next?
Well, when this was originally pitched, it was Thor's foes. So I had Beta Ray Bill because he was one of Thor's greatest foes.
I will go with that because he did kick Thor's ass when they first met.
He did kick Thor's ass. And in originally the story, he was introduced back in Thor, what was it, 337? He did. He kicked Thor's ass. He won Mjolnir fair and square from Thor, picked it up, was able to wield it. Then Odin said, look, okay, it was an accident. The enchantment wasn't supposed to work that way. Hey, guys, whoa, my bad. But, you know, we can settle this. Let's have a fight one-on-one. You guys duke it out. No hammers involved. And he still won. And won the hammer fair and square. So that's why I chose Beta Ray Bill.
I love Beta Ray Bill. He is, like, one of my favorite tertiary characters in all of Marveldom.
I'll go with that. He's a great character. A lot of fun to see and always fun when he comes on the screen. My favorite, I'm not a huge Thor fan, so I'm going to have to go with The House That Bleeds Dough.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Going deep.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
See, that's more of an Avengers foe in my mind, but, you know, go ahead, yeah.
I mean, oh, that house had it in for Thor. From the very...
yeah.
From the very beginning, that fucking house hated Thor. The House That Bleeds Dough is an interdimensional time-traveling mini warp zone that comes into play at different places. People wander into it. It drips a dough on them that sends them to another dimension, almost trapping Captain America and Thor for all time in their weird interdimensional Sarlacc-like stomach. And I really say this because I only had two good Thor foes, and that was the third one I thought of.
You're not even going to give credit to Chris Mitchell, our number one fan.
Yeah. Chris Mitchell loves The House That Bleeds Dough. He does. Every time we're at a Comic-Con, he does like to bring that up. All right, let's go for some honorable mentions. Michael,
I can get my third.
He just doesn't fucking want you to participate, Josh.
You know, Josh, because you brought this topic up,
and
he doesn't even have three, he doesn't want to give you your due.
I'm sorry, Josh, my brother. Go ahead, give me three.
All right. I am going with Surtur, the Lord of Muspelheimr. I mean, the guy who's, like, number two in the world of destroying shit when it comes to Ragnarok. He has stymied both Odin and Thor all throughout history. He has his own goddamn dimension. He pretty much does whatever he wants. He's taken the biggest and baddest shots from Odin and Thor and walks away, and he is here until the end of fucking days, and you can't stop him. He's coming. Eventually, he's coming. He's going to show up at your doorstep with some fucking flowers and some candy and say, "This is the end of the world, bitch, and I'm putting my sword through your entire continent. Get out of my way."
I'm doing it alone with my six about it.
There. I sound like a cartoon character.
A little bit there, a little bit.
A little bit.
But one
like I sound every day of my life, but okay.
I would not have even known about him if it had not been for deities and demigods.
Yeah.
Deep cut on that comic book.
Mike. Welcome back, first edition.
Yep. That's all I got.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, all the Norse gods.
He was
back
great
in, the day, right?
In Thor 3.
He was. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very patient.
I might
had everything in hand.
Besides Loki, I might go with him as the funniest supervillain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Prove me wrong.
Surtur.
Yeah.
What was he in Thor 3?
What?
The giant flaming guy
right in the film
who destroyed Asgard?
The goddamn opening scene.
Oh. Sorry, I forget the giant flaming guy had a name. He doesn't have a lot of lines.
No, but he's hilarious right at the beginning. Who voiced him? I'm looking it up right now. I don't care. All you people, you can listen to my goddamn typing.
Clickety clickety clack clack clack. Clickety clickety clack clack clack.
Or Ragnarok.
Please tell me it was Sylvester Stallone.
Awesome.
Yo, I'm going to go destroy Asgard. What, you got a problem with that? You can fucking come with me.
It's the weekend. What are you going to do? I'm going to destroy Asgard.
That's a pretty good Sylvester Stallone, I'm going to say.
Not too bad at me. Oh, my God.
What?
Anybody want to guess who the voice of fucking Surtur is?
Dolph Lundgren?
No, better than Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, there's only one person in the universe I think is better than Dolph Lundgren. That would be Bruce Campbell.
No.
Jeff. No, it's not Jeff Goldblum. It's Christopher
Clancy
Walken?
Brown.
Yes.
Clancy yes. Brown. Who?
Clancy the fucking Kerrigan.
Say who?
The Kerrigan.
I'm gonna work with fucking effigy.
I love the Kerrigan.
Clancy Brown, the Kerrigan, the fucking sergeant in Starship Troopers, the fucking voice of 98% of the people you fucking love in cartoons. Oh my God, Clancy Brown. Mike, did you have that in front of you on the screen?
I did not. I just pulled it out of my ass because I was thinking, who is better than Bruce Campbell?
Dinner's on me, man. Next time. Holy shit. Clancy Brown, way to go.
Clap, 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 clap. That is Mike, great, huh?
Yeah. That's beautiful, Mike. I am tearing up right now that you knew that.
And speaking of Clancy Brown, if you like his voice, he's at the beginning of every episode of our friendly podcast, Movies Made Me.
Yeah.
He does the opening.
Really? We gotta get to do an opening for us. I love Clancy Brown. Now that I know his goddamn name. all right. I'm sorry I had skipped you. Mikey, what do you got for honorable mentions?
I think I like Ego the Living Planet. Originally a Thor villain, then became kind of more of the galactic universal threat to whoever happens to be roaming around in space. But I tried to pick people from different eras, and I think going all the way back to Ego is a good call.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Anybody else, Mikey?
I don't know. Did everybody mention the Wrecking Crew? I mean, they're pretty.
Oh, the Wrecking Crew! Those guys are great. Enchanted Crowbar? Anyone?
Yeah,
Enchanted. Just the tip.
Stop it,
Josh. What do you got for your honorable mentions?
I'm gonna go with Galactus. Like, they've had Thor square off against Galactus more than a couple of times over the years, and I just like it because, one, Galactus is sort of one of the best-known big bads in all of Marveldom, and they have let Thor square off against him and save planets in the past, and that's one of the things I love about him. A lot of people, like, I think when they look at Thor, when they haven't read a lot of the comics, you see him sort of dismissed as someone who gets beat up by the Hulk occasionally. But Thor really is a galactic force, and he gets steps in and stops some serious events in the Marvel Universe, and I appreciate that.
I'm going to throw in the Executioner.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the Executioner.
And
yeah.
Only because I loved him in Thor 3 Ragnarok. It's not because of anything he did in the comics.
No.
Carl Urban, just delightful.
Yeah.
Carl Urban is
Billy Butcher,
delightful.
Just fighting Thor.
Yeah.
Let's not also forget that he had 4 different kinds of Vespa scooters when he could just summon whatever he wanted. What do I want? Vespas.
Vespas.
I thought that was cool because I'm a Vespa guy, but that's just me. Tommy, what are your honorable mentions?
Frost Giants. Like I said, I haven't really read a lot of Thor, so I'm just going to go general and just say Frost Giants.
Frost Giants.
When in doubt, a Frost Giant will do.
Yeah. Right. I prefer the Hill Giants Jarl, but that's just me.
That's you. All right.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut.
It's against the Giants kind of deal.
Against the Giants kind of deal.
That's right.
Wow. How many supplements was that?
3.
It was 3 modules all rolled into
the G series.
G series.
G for giant, baby.
Absolutely.
Mikey.
I'm surprised nobody chose the Crusader. I thought Tom was going to choose the Crusader.
No, he was on my, you know, I mean, I might have given him an honorable mention, but no.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Like, he just doesn't strike me as long-lasting or, in the long run, that interesting.
It was the power of his own belief that he was right, which allowed him to kick Thor's ass. And then when he found out that there were other gods, it made him have self-doubt, and then he lost all his power. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, but after he lost his power, how many times did he show up again?
A lot. He started in his own criminal organization when they were breaking out of there was a prison riot when everybody was breaking out. He was like, no, I'm going to stay here. I need to serve my penance. I've been bad. I mean, he's got a lot of depth to him.
Yeah. Actually, you know, if he changes his belief to belief in himself, he can be very powerful.
Yeah.
Maybe we should change this guy around.
It's not going
to
happen.
But that's for another time. Let's go to a couple other things like the front of the long box. Mikey, it's been a great time for comic books. What's at the front of the long box this week?
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
I have told you guys in the past that you need to go out and start getting Jonathan Hickman's run on the X-Men, and it has already started. They're on, as of this week, should be issue number 2 of The Powers of 10. There's 2 series, The House of X and The Powers of 10. And I say Powers of 10, it's not The Powers of X, because you have to read the comic. It's told, they're 2 different series, although they're intertwined, telling one giant story, because Marvel wanted 2 number ones instead of just having a 12-issue series. Go figure. But the 2 stories are intertwined. The Powers of X tells a story about the X-Men throughout time, while House of X mainly features the restart of the X-Men. Everything that has happened for the last I don't know how many years, fuck all that. Hickman has just thrown it all out the window and said, "Dad, don't worry about any of that shit that happened. Characters that were dead? Nope, they're alive because I want them in my fucking series."
Good for him.
So he is basically starting from where either Claremont or either where Claremont ended or where Grant Morrison's run ended. Somewhere around there, he's just picking and choosing whatever he wants and creating a magnificent storyline, which is going to be running throughout a number of different X comics. If you are devoted listeners, are interested in these comics, I'm going to give you the code, the digital code. So the first one of our listeners who goes to marvel.com/redeem can get the first 3 issues, the 2 of House of X and 1 of Power of X. And I'm going to do it phonetically for you. First code is Tango Mike Echo Golf Juliet 0213 Echo 6 Foxtrot. The next comic is Tango Mike Echo Papa Quebec Uniform Bravo Mike Lima Victor Tango Hotel. That's right. If you were never in the Army, you're at a definite disadvantage. And the last one is 2 Kilo 1 Quebec India Foxtrot Victor Tango Tango 2 India Juliet John Larson. I know you're listening. You're welcome.
Yeah. You. Well, we can tweet those out, or we can put them on Patreon for our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, we can also do that. But
we do that.
Send it to me. I'll put them on the Patreon.
There's definitely some effort here, folks. So put the effort in.
Yeah.
Get that done.
Yeah. Josh, you started reading it?
I haven't. My past couple of weeks, I've been super busy. So Saturday, I got to go and pick up my stash from the from Friendly Neighborhood Comics and get that done. I haven't even seen the covers.
Well, I will. It's not to spoil anything. One of the major members of the X-Men is Krakoa, the Living Island.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thanks. The Danny the Street of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that island doing over there? Yeah. Nothing. Nothing.
Pay no attention to that island.
Krakoa the Living Island. One of my favorite islands.
Well, next week on The Goat, we should do Best Island.
The best.
Josh has a favorite.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's going to be tough. Hey, oh, wait, we might not be.
Is it your sector, for God's sakes, Josh?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
We will argue that next week on The GOAT. How do we get? How do people get to listen to The GOAT, Tom?
They get to listen to The GOAT by going to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/or/I can never remember, The Long Box Guys. This last week we did a really, really funny one, and it's up on our Twitter feed. Go take a look at that, and you can see a link to it. We talked about some of the better villains of the superheroes of The Boys. A couple weeks ago, we put a free one out, so if you're not a subscriber yet, you can go to our Patreon page. There is a couple of free goats out there. I made the Eternals one free because, quite frankly, it's one of our funnier ones.
Yeah, we know nothing about them.
We know nothing about them. And speaking of something I know nothing about, what's this week's tangent, Josh?
Yeah,
we're switching up the order.
I wasn't even expecting a tangent question. We have been going so long on podcasts about our primary topics, I don't even think I've had a tangent in like 5 podcasts.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure we got you in.
All right. So the tangent is favorite seafood.
Ooh. You know, I got this right off the bat for me, a nice clam roll. I love driving my scooter up the coast, finding a clam roll place, stopping, having a nice clam roll.
Give us a shop. I need a shop.
I know the shop.
Maybe not today, maybe not right now, but Twitter or Patreon, we need to know your favorite clam roll spot.
Yeah, follow us at The Long Box Guys and tweet out your favorite clam spot.
Yeah, clam shacks fucking rule.
For me, it's go ahead, LT.
Got Mike.
I personally like scallops better than clams. So fried scallops, that's mine.
Okay. I can respect a decent scallop.
You're wrong, but it's a good
choice. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You just said it.
I know, but I know my exact place. It took 2 seconds to find. Tony's Clam Shop. Tony's Clam Shop. It's right down there on Revere Beach. And it's about a 20-minute scoot over from me. And it's right on the beach. It's beautiful. You get to watch out, and it's terrific.
I have been to Tony's.
Yeah,
it's
Tony's.
A respectable clam shack and establishment with a concrete facade looking over the Revere Beach. It's a decent place to get a good clam roll. Go there.
All right. I'm glad you like it.
I do like clam rolls, and I do like scallops, but I love Chilean sea bass.
Oh.
It is the best fish that I have ever had the pleasure of tasting. I've had it in Brazil, and I've had it here in the U.S. It was better in Brazil. It probably would be even better in Chile, but
one would imagine.
Delicious, delicious chili.
I am a sushi guy. I adore sushi.
I know you like sushi, but
no,
I mean,
I
you're
adore
a New Englander.
Sushi.
But you're a New Englander too.
I adore sushi, Tom.
So, what's your favorite sushi, Josh?
I am going to go with in a balance of both price and quality. Go to either spot, either in Newton or in the south end of Boston. Go to Oishi. Their sushi is so well done. Absolutely the best cuts you can find around here without going overboard on price and eccentricity for eccentricity's sake. So if you ever get a chance, go to Oya in Boston once and make sure you're on somebody else's dime, because that's a dining experience. It's not just sushi. But if you really want good sushi, just hit Oishi in Chestnut Hill in Newton.
Sounds tasty. Speaking of New England and seafood, I found out something insane that I never knew before. Josh, do you know what kind of fish a scrod is? Or Tommy?
To catch of the day.
No. Yeah, scrod is generally a generic term for flaky white fish in New England. It's not a fish.
I did not know. I thought there was a fucking fish named a scrod.
No, there's not.
There is not. It's any white fish that they can't quite identify. It could be a cod. It could be a couple of flounder. There's like four other fishes that you can't really figure out what they are until they enter maturity. So until they enter maturity, they can be any of these things. So they just call it Skrod.
Yeah, I
just did not know that.
It's just whatever. If the other eye hasn't passed through its goddamn head, I don't know what the hell it is. It's whitefish. Yeah. Call it Skrod.
Yeah, call it Skrod. I did not know that, and I feel like I should have. I'm a better New Englander for knowing that Skrod is any damn whitefish. Tommy,
absolutely.
What do you got at the back of the long box?
I've got Dreaming Eagles by Garth Ennis. It's a fantastic story of the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. I recommend it for everyone. In fact, I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic – if you like war stories, it is a fantastic comic book about the struggles of the Tuskegee Airmen getting their wings, going and facing all of the challenges just to get the right to fly and serve their country.
Which is a great true story. I haven't read the comic, but I mean the story and the history of the Tuskegee Airmen is fantastic. I love hearing it, and I wanted to be a pilot. Anything with air-to-air combat, planes, anything like that, it draws me right in.
Josh, you would probably love this. He did a ton of research for the book, and I think you would love it.
And I love Garth Ennis. The guy does just amazing books.
Yeah. I can't name a bad Garth Ennis book.
No, he's on it.
So, he's on it.
Yeah, it's going on the list. I got got my list up.
Put that list up. Let's get it. Let's get here, man. Yeah.
Dreaming Eagles.
And as a civil rights and social justice guy, I got to say Dreaming Eagles is on my list. I've read it in the past. It's not – you're usually way in the back. That's only about 4 years old, Tommy?
Yeah, it's not that old. But I saw it, and I was like, you know, I want to read this, so I'm going to read it. And yeah, I loved it.
Not all
is it a limited series? How many issues are we talking?
It's about seven issues.
Oh, okay.
So
like five.
You can knock it out in a weekend.
Yeah, I can knock that out in a morning.
Yeah. But well worth it.
But well worth it. I love Tuskegee Airmen. Terrific. There was a great movie last year on the Tuskegee Airmen. Did anybody see that, Tuskegee?
I did not.
Oh, good movie.
A lot of things blow past me in the theaters at this point. Like, well, the actual lifetime of a film in the theater has become so small. Like, I don't even know, like, how to find movies that I wanted to see. They're like, oh, let's just, like, Brightburn. I was like, oh, I want to go check out Brightburn this weekend. And it's nowhere. It's out. Like, it's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And even the goddamn tiny little eat dinner in the back of a freaking theater at a round table shit already freaking kicked Brightburn to the cove, to the curb.
Yeah, Brightburn didn't last very long. I had a similar problem with Man of Tai Chi, which was Keanu Reeves' last martial arts movie, which came out about 4 years ago. I was in the middle of Tennessee, and I had an alert set up all over the United States for it. The closest place I could have seen in a theater when I was living in Tennessee was to drive to Florida.
So well, that's because he allowed himself to be in 47 Ronin and should be fucking ashamed of himself.
Well, that was a terrible movie.
Ashamed.
Shame. Ring the bell. Yeah. March through the
streets. Keanu Reeves should be marched naked through the streets with a goddamn brass bell, just saying shame until 47 Ronin is, freaking...
Obluted from our memories.
Absolutely.
Obluted.
Mike, I know it's your 17th favorite film.
It is.
I haven't seen it yet.
The problem is if we get Keanu Reeves naked and start ringing a bell near him, people are going to be throwing money. So, just saying.
Is that a problem?
Nah. I mean, I like money. You know, like money? I like you money. Like money.
And you know what?
I'm not ashamed. I'll pick up money.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
All right, so here's my little segment called 3 to 18. We started talking about Clancy Brown. Clancy Brown has been in so many things, and my favorite thing that he ever showed up in is a TV show that let me down terribly. How many people watched or tried to watch The Headless Horseman? Or, I'm sorry, Sleepy Hollow.
I tried to watch that.
You tried, right?
Yeah.
I got so excited when I watched the first episode and I saw him as the sheriff. I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
The Kerrigan gets his head cut off in the very first episode as the sheriff. This is going to be terrific, right?
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, it was all right.
Unfortunately, they totally wasted Clancy Brown's talent in this one. I hate to shit on things, but guys, what do you give Sleepy Hollow 3-18?
Wait, the movie Sleepy Hollow? The TV show.
And let me say this, the first episode with Clancy Brown, I'll give that motherfucker a 15 or a 16.
So I'm going to give the TV show itself an 8.
An 8. That's one below average. Really?
It just wasn't my jam. I know for some people it was. And some people really liked it. I don't know who they are. I've never met them, but I'm assuming some people liked it because it lasted for a couple seasons at least. I watched the first season, or maybe part of the first season. I can't tell you anything that happened in that.
Nothing. I can tell you how mad he got when he found out there was a 20% tax on donuts because he went to war over a 2% tax on tea. Like 20% tax and a Dunkin' Donuts on a pastry. I killed people for 2% on tea.
I remember that scene.
Yeah, it was one of the funniest scenes of the first season, which is sad. That is sad that that's the funniest fucking scene of the first season. Josh, 3-18, what do you got, buddy?
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's just like gibberish. It's just like you're just yelling words at me that I've never heard before. What the fuck are we talking about?
Sleepy Hollow, the TV show.
So yeah. I actually tried to watch this recently.
Yeah.
You never watched it?
I don't even know what you're talking about. No, I know.
All right, let me give you the premise. Here's the thing that pisses me off the most. The premise is so in my wheelhouse, it drives me nuts. Ichabod Crane is a steampunky super spy under George Washington who has to kill a supernatural threat called the Headless Horseman. The Headless Horseman isn't destroyed. He goes to sleep. So Ichabod Crane goes into suspended fucking animation and comes back in the present. And this TV show lasted for like 7 seasons, Josh. You never even heard of this?
Oh.
Clancy Brown was the sheriff. Now, the Headless Horseman runs around and cuts off people's heads. Clancy Brown gets his head cut off. The Kerrigan gets his head cut off in the very first episode, which was awesome. But he comes back as like a narrator voice through the rest of it, trying to lead one of the detectives through all the mysteries. It is so in my wheelhouse, it's ridiculous. I should have loved this show, but the writing was so bad. The action was so bad. The comedy was so bad. Everything was so bad, I couldn't watch it past the first season. Mikey, who liked it and loved to give it a 7, only watched the first season, right?
Yeah, but it had 4 seasons. But LT just said he was watching it. So
I tried to watch it recently. Oh. And I didn't make it past 3 episodes.
It's just bad writing. I
was just like, I was doing other stuff while watching it, and I was just like, I was like, you know what? This isn't even, like, interesting enough for me to, like, keep track of.
Dear listeners, Tom has said something had bad writing. I would like to mark this date in my calendar.
It was just poor writing. I'm a guy who likes things. And this...
Yeah.
And the scripting
bad
of it.
Things.
It is true. You are dissing what you hate.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
This should have been perfect. A steampunky General Washington super spy among us?
Come on. Let it throw closer to you.
With Tom Clancy, Clancy Brown should have been better.
Come. You'll be more powerful than you can ever imagine. Come, Tom. Let it flow through you.
Let the hate flow through me. I'm done with the hate.
If you want to watch it, it is available on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Really? It should be available in the bottom of my toilet.
I think it's available on Hulu also.
Probably. Sure. Why not?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
We should go to plugs.
Yeah. Plug something there, Mike.
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you're going to be in Reno, November 8th through 10th, at the Reno Pop Culture Con, come by and check us out. We don't know if we're actually going to have a panel or not, but why wouldn't they want us?
Seriously.
I want us. Josh, yeah. What do you got to plug there, buddy?
What have I got to plug? I'm going to say Friendly Neighborhood Comics. Get in there. That place is clean. Epic Nerd Camp next spring. Go there. Everything else, I don't know.
I'm going to make my reservation this time. I'm going to Epic Nerd Camp.
All right. Ian and Tammy will be there.
Ooh, we love Ian and Tammy. Speaking of Ian and Tammy, Tom, you got anything to plug?
I would like everyone to go to bandcamp.com and search for Angry Johnny and go check out his album Sick and maybe give him some money because he's sick.
How is Angry Johnny doing? He's
got cancer.
Oh.
So he's got that going for him.
Well, sure. I'll play Ian Lino and Tammy over at geekorthodox.com.
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 Hello, Tammy.
Three of the sexiest feet you'll ever find on this planet. Geekorthodox.com. I'll put a dollar in the jar. Boom. They do a lot of fine t-shirts. I love my Group Beer t-shirt. It always gets a fun comment. And also, beautiful stained glass. I believe John Barrowman actually has some of their stained glass. Is that a true fact?
True fact.
Yep.
True fact indeed. Well, let's say a little quick shout out to our friend Sammy Savage. He has a couple of podcasts that we like. Gamer Needs Food Badly. And what's some of his others? I like that one myself.
It's go to whosnextgaming.com and you will get links to all of his different podcasts, including Who's Next, along with Movies So Bad They're Good.
Yeah, do that.
I haven't listened to that one yet. Is that good, Mikey?
So I'm going to have to listen to the Dolemite episode with my wife because she has just discovered Dolemite and is fascinated with it.
Oh, I love Dolemite.
Have you guys seen the preview for Dolemite Is My Name or whatever, the new Eddie Murphy movie that they're about the making of Dolemite?
I've seen a teaser clip.
You should definitely watch it. And if you watch it and don't want to see that movie, you're dead inside.
Dead inside.
Okay.
And we're not dead inside. We're actually quite well and alive and thanking all of our people for doing our Patreon page, listening to this podcast. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy.
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's the podcast you deserve.
And Josh, we might be going to Reno, Nevada, and I hope you go with us, because goddamn, Reno's always fun. It's like someone rubbed a wet ham all over Las Vegas. Is that your sector?
Reno will be my sector, and the new job makes the seaport in Boston my new sector. Cool.
All right, I love you guys. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love, except for Sleepy Hollow. That was a piece of shit. Love you guys. Goodbye.
Speaking of great, Swamp Thing is not that.
Yeah, I powered through the whole way. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And let me say how a series that has the Swamp Thing, Madame Xanadu, Blue Devil,
Adrian Barbeau, The Phantom Stranger,
how they get that wrong is beyond me, but they do.